bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of The Bottom Line. Appreciate you joining us here on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Need, Brennan Riker. After some help on the chat line and a quick Google search after joking about it enough, we have...
It was Matt Temple.
We have... We have deduced what In the Lab is from TBT.
Oh, okay, yeah. The player that we got from the rec was Matt Temple, thank you.
Yeah.
Texter, and I just couldn't remember. I've had three concussions. I can't remember that we just talked about that.
Which especially with this time when it happened, yeah. not Matt Temple, but Texas Tech has had a couple of interesting stories of how they got people on the roster, because I was not here during the Linwood kicking change.
The kick for cash. No, sorry, kick for rent. And so, you know, once upon a time there was, they still have a deal like that, but they had the Linwood apartments, Linwood townhomes. I lived in the Linwood apartments over off of Orlando at 17th Street in college. And there's a Linwood townhomes, a much nicer property. Just say that. And I can say that because I don't live there anymore. So, but anyway, they had this kick for rent. No one ever makes it. Kids come out of the stands and they just, you know, some drunk sorority girl comes out there. And she shankopotamuses it out there.
Right. It hits the ground before the goal.
She dribbles
line.
It, you know, and then, but they'll, hey, Matt Williams comes out of the stands, you know, he's a high school kicker, you know, and he steps back up, you know, three steps back, two steps over, steps right up, boom, splits the uprights, plenty of room to spare, and everyone was like, holy cow, that looked good. And, you know, they're walking him off the field up the tunnel, and here you come. I was in the alumni suite when it happened. I swear it was Mike Leach. Other people say they sent a staffer up there to get him. I thought it was Mike Leach running down the sideline to go get him. And next thing you know, he was out at practice on Monday, and he was kicking extra points for Tech on Saturday against your Jayhawks.
What was the what was the feeling when he first came? Was it, like, exciting? Like, was it a, this makes sense, yeah, we all saw what happened last week?
It became a story.
Or was it, we'll see what happens?
Yeah, it became, his nickname instantly became Linwood, and it was great. Matt Williams was a great dude. We ended up having a pretty decent Facebook interaction, you know, back and forth, and had him come in and do a campus deal for us one time. Great guy, awesome dude, totally right person for the right time, and to be that person. You know, he handled all of it well. I think he ended up missing only two or three field goals in his entire career. I mean, he was a sophomore, I believe. He kicked for 3 years, and I think he only missed like two or three field goals. He didn't have great range. I mean, he wasn't going to go out there and kick any 60 yarders for you.
Sure.
But he's pretty automatic inside of 40, and just a great dude, made every extra point, which is really what we really needed him to do.
Was there any worry, do you think, in the back of people's minds, or in the back of your mind as that's happening? As he's taking the field for the first time, oh man, this has a shot for us to be the biggest joke in the conference? Or was it, it couldn't get any worse?
We were kind of at that point where it couldn't get any worse. But it was really we scored our first touchdown against Kansas. All right, here comes 85. Here comes Linwood out there. And we're just like, oh my God, please, 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 please. Oh, he made it. All right, cool. And then he went on and made it. And then it became so automatic that you just never thought about it again. And it was just, it became a great story. Loved the whole Linwood story. It was so cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that story before a couple of years ago. No. And I thought it was a joke when Jamie was first telling it to me. I thought he was messing with me.
No,
that is incredible.
Yeah.
We get this on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. You can hit us up there as well. In the Lab is some influencer deal. Yeah, I read their little description for themselves. In the Lab is a global sports brand that inspires creators and athletes worldwide with next-generation content creation. And apparently they can play basketball enough to get past the first round.
Great.
So,
they did beat the HBCU guys.
Yeah, they have. They're on the other side of you, of course. They'll take on Bleed Green tonight, the UNT team, before you.
I predict that this team gets beat by 30 tonight.
Yeah, and again, it's such a weird tournament. It's hard to tell what you're going to get, even after you've seen a team for a game. But I'll tell you what, UNT's team looked pretty good the other night. Looked pretty
Didn't see a minute good. Of it, so I couldn't tell you.
We get
also,
this.
Nor do I care.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want the Air Raiders to win the whole thing. And it's a blast seeing them on the court again. It's a blast seeing them here back in Lubbock.
That is
it was so cool. Fun.
It was awesome to have content to listen to after the Rangers game, driving home from the ballpark. That was great. You know, got out of the parking lot 5:30, you know, got out of on the interstate. Mm-hmm. My wife and I did rules for about an hour, and then turned on the game at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And it was great. Listened to the game almost all the way home. It was awesome.
Like, give me that over sitting down and actually watching an average summer league game 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, the crowd was into it. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. If they had lost the game, I wouldn't shrug my shoulders. That was fun. You know, I mean, I'm not... If I can figure out a way, if at 8 o'clock tonight, I'm gonna I've got some stuff to do this afternoon. But if at 8 o'clock tonight, if I find myself, you know what, let's go check that out. I bet you I can find a ticket into that game.
I keep saying that, like, I told this to you before it started. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice because it's one of those things. It's nice to see these guys play, and you want them to do well. You want them to win the $1 million prize, right? And it's like, but you know, at the end of the day, this is kind of a thrown together tournament, although it's gotten better and better every year and really well organized, and you've got some pretty decent names across the entire tournament in it now that are wanting to come back and play as alumni. I think it'd be great. I know that's probably not what in the lab wants to hear.
In the lab.
Even though all of those guys are alumni somewhere, I'd love for it to get to where it was all truly alumni
it
teams.
That would be really cool if it was alumni teams.
But I keep saying, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's just this different type of tournament. It's not going to be that big of a deal to me. It's not going to affect me if they were to end up losing.
Yeah.
But the way that I was into it, as soon as they got going on Wednesday, I was like, man, I don't know. Maybe I keep telling myself that, and it won't be to the same anger level that, you know, that you saw when you lose some games, like you did this past year early in the Big 12. It's not going to be like to that level of anger. But man, I'm kind of thinking I'm invested now. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
More invested than I thought I would be.
Yeah, not invested.
So?
Not invested at all. I mean, it's great. I hope they win. I think it's cool. If they win, how cool would that be? They don't win.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. Glad they're back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. I sound like I'm throwing a wet blanket on all of this.
You're not.
I mean, because I know there are people that are invested, have gone to the games, and they're really enjoying what's happening. It's great. I'll pay attention tonight. You know, I'll follow the game. You know, if I'm out to dinner tonight, you know, I might check in somewhere and you know, turn it on and see what the score is. You know, I mean, if I'm not, I'm fine. Go check that game out. It starts around 8 o'clock. You know, check that game out.
Well, okay, so I don't think you're throwing a wet blanket on it by any means. It's more like there's an under the radar story that's happened because what type of year are you coming off of for Red Raider basketball?
Kind of a
gut punch.
A gut punch. Yeah.
A gut punch, and you have had to press the reset button.
Yeah.
From a coaching standpoint and from most of the roster standpoint, and not just your usual. Well, we'll see who transfers out. Trying to now what you thought the building blocks that had been built up over the past decade feels like you're trying to build back up from ground level, right? To me, an under the radar story, because you can tell how much it meant for pick a guy on that roster from whatever year he was there at Texas Tech, whether he didn't even finish because he got some of those guys on there, like a Kyler Edwards that started and ended up at Houston. The relationship is still there. Like, you could tell how much it meant to have a good crowd for TBT there. You could tell how much it meant to the fans that whether they tuned in through ESPN Plus or were there in person, that there was an investment, and not that you were worried about that relationship from fan to basketball not being there anymore, but there's still the want to.
You know what I thought was interesting was not the guys that were on the court, it's the guys that were not on the court. The number of guys that was, I was like, and I think someone posed the question, who do you think would actually win between the guys that were on the court and the guys that were not on the court?
There were some pretty good names. There were some Culvers and Arms waiting over there and some Evans.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, hey, I know there's still interest because I tried to upgrade my GAs, upper level GAs, and like Chuck, there was nothing in the lower bowl.
Yeah.
Had to settle for something in the upper level reserved in the corner. At least I got a reserve seat, though.
Yeah, that's nice.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back. A Friday edition. Appreciate you joining us. You can hit us up on the 8th Floor and Center chat line. Let us know if you're taking in the Air Raiders tonight in any shape or fashion.
I get this off the Snead line from Jan. Jan says the best was the Air Raiders winning. Next best was Texas losing. I can get down with that.
That's something I said. I was because the Texas players didn't have just a bunch of actual draw players to me. But still, like it's the Texas alumni team, right? And so when I was first walking into the building, there's about half the game left, and I didn't know if I was going to be leaning, man, I do want to see Tech alumni versus Texas alumni, or, man, I hope that Texas alumni just gets knocked out in the first round. Yeah. And as soon as I stepped in and heard the crowd that was there, that was, you know, pro-Air Raider, it wasn't just a mass of Enchantment fans that were there cheering as the Enchantment would score and as Texas would miss, I'm like, all right, I'm in. Let's go to New Mexico. You know what?
Yeah,
I'm invested.
I'm never, unless it directly benefits Tech, I am never in the pro root for them category.
Yeah.
Unless it directly, and I mean directly, we're going to benefit in a great way for them to.
If Texas wins that game, you get into a playoff.
Yeah. That's the other than that, I just, nope.
Time now for a Friday edition of Kaylee's Dailies.
I almost forgot.
Gate?
Yes, sir.
Brennan
just straight up disappeared.
He did. He gone.
That was incredible.
Sorry, if you're watching on TV, that was much more interesting than when she was just listening to. Cleet!
Yes, sir.
With the anticipated Barbie. Are you anticipating this Barbie movie?
My wife and I are planning on going and seeing it. I think it's going to be very funny.
I just feel like brain cells will get lost every time if I turn it on.
I'm anticipating watching Barbie and Oppenheimer back to back.
Stop.
Barbenheimer,
yeah.
Which order? In that order?
I would assume you have to go Oppenheimer first and then Barbie because you want to end on a light note.
We all know how Oppenheimer ends.
Don't ruin it for me.
It's kind of like the Titanic. We all know how it is.
Don't tell me what it's about.
Shocker.
Enchantment.
Spoiler alert, Sneed. Come
Enchantment.
On.
Enchantment. So with the anticipated Barbie movie being released today, it brings up a great way to talk about the most Barbie-like animal in nature. That's right. The pink Amazon river dolphin. A.K.A. the Boto.
I had like five guesses in my head, and they were all wrong. For some reason, one was going to be some type of lizard. No math there.
Well, like the name implies, the pink Amazon River dolphins are found in the Amazon River systems and are characterized by their long rostrums. You know what a rostrum is? It's like their nozzle feature.
Their nozzle feature, horse name.
Yeah. Nozzle feature. They have small eyes and in male bottles, pink skin. It's hypothesized that this makes that males possess this pink hue. It's pinkish hue, due to the fight they get into with other bottles. It's like saying bottles. Like other marine mammal species, botos are extremely, extremely easy for you to say, extremely competitive for mates. I was going to say competitive for males. They often engage in fights for female companionships, and these fights could then lead to scar tissue in males, making them more attractive to females. So, you know, it's like what's his name says in Replacement Zone, chicks dug scars.
Yeah. Dude.
In summary, the pinker the dolphin, the better the mate. Ooh.
It's
a lady.
I am looking at a picture right now, and I know I'm not supposed to be because I'm not a dolphin. There's nothing attractive about that. That is the hairless cat of the ocean.
Oh.
That is disgusting. That's like a normal dolphin got ran over and thrown back into the sea. Ugh, that thing is ugly.
Big pile of meat.
Big, yeah, that's what there's a lot of terms that could describe
by
this.
The
probably
way,
not radio
by the
friendly.
Way, shout out to Dumas last night because they rolled out there with a big pile of meat. Yeah, the Craig Thompson tailgating experience, and they did it up right. They came in with candied bacon to start. Oh my, I could have eaten a whole plate of candied bacon. Then it came in. They had smoked tenderloin, ooh, ribs, oh. Ooh. Yeah, end pieces, burnt ends. Ah, it's good.
Mm. As I stuff my mouth.
Yes. Yeah.
You need to pulling on my heartstrings when you brought up burnt ends.
No, oh, it was so good. And I had to maintain a portion control there last night.
Portion control.
Candied bacon was
man.
Outstanding.
Moderation.
I did moderation last night. I have to.
We got this on the chat line. An employed ref who's had three confessions. That explains so much.
An employed ref that had three confessions.
Sorry, concussions. Concussions. Did I say confessions?
You said confessions.
Concussions. I can't read. I've also had concussions in my life. Yeah. True story. South Texas Ambassador Preston said, I took Matt Williams fishing a couple years ago. Great guy and a great Red Raider.
Great dude.
Awesome.
That is you cannot say enough great things about that guy.
I, for one, enjoy the TBT. I tune in because of the draw of watching the previous Tech players. It's a good gap sporting event between baseball season and the start of football, which is something else I agree with. It's basketball.
Like I said, I in no way was trying to throw a wet blanket on it. I know people are enjoying it. Yeah, so I mean not at all. If you're enjoying it, by all means, continue to enjoy it.
It's just in basketball in this setting, there's just going to be varying levels of interest from fan to fan because it's not like when the Red Raiders season is here, where everyone is invested.
I mean, the funny thing is, I'm like, it's Friday night, you know, am I going to go watch their Raiders? I'll find out if they won or not. Now, Sunday, if they play, I might have a different level of interest. You know, I mean, the lawn will be mowed. There's not really anything on TV I want to watch. They're playing in Sunday morning, leaving most of my afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's indoors. It's air-conditioned. Pretty good chance I might go say, you know what? Let's go shell out some shekels and go check that out.
Good chance it could happen.
We get this on the chat line. In your defense, Brennan, it's a little difficult to tackle a chest freezer wearing football pads.
Goodness,
that's a large human. Doug Brooks was large.
Because there's a lot of guys criticizing you, sitting at home criticizing you, wouldn't have the stones to go even attack to try to make the play. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact. And that's why they're sitting on their ass at home. And you're doing, you know, you're playing in a state championship game.
El Jefe said, I'm going to need Air Raiders to win tonight. I snagged some courtside seats for Sunday's game. Sneed-inspired humble brag.
What time should I be there?
I think on the Sunday one, if they make it there, if they win
it's
tonight.
It's Sunday morning.
It's like, I think it's a 12 o'clock start. Oh. It's in the early afternoon.
Early afternoon.
Yeah. I get this. Listen to y'all today in Hazard, Kentucky.
Ah!
All right, thanks for joining.
As their Kentucky horse name.
The Dolphin said, you're not his type anyway, Clint.
Wow. Like the ugliest girl in the club.
He probably said like the same thing about me. Like, that's a 260-pound hairless cat walking around up there, which is wrong because I'm quite hairy.
Hey, we have the first three events for the The Olympics.
Yes.
No. The bottom line into the bench Olympics has the first three events now. And
which I'm excited just more. I mean, yes, I'm excited to compete.
Yeah.
But the things we're doing just sound fun.
They are, yeah.
So putt-putt was mine.
Yeah.
Choice said axe throwing.
Yeah.
No one vetoed that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You drafted go-kart racing.
Go-kart racing. And so those are the first three. And then our listener-inspired one was the blocking PKs from Kyler.
Five PKs from Kyler. I'm really excited to do that one, too.
For a different reason.
Let me rephrase. I'm excited to watch you and Choice.
I just have to stop one. That's all I know is I have to stop one because you guys aren't stopping any.
I've already been just thinking up my strategy of which way I'm going to go because I have to be extremely lucky.
All right. Hopefully I'll see you Monday. I got jury duty.
Sounds good. Have a good one, man.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brennan Riker behind the glass. You can hit us up on the Ace Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all that welcome there. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Clint, if Kansas was Texas' partner, you would be happy to go. The KU fan talking arrogance is rich. So I know I come from another arrogant fan base. Don't get me wrong. I'm well aware of that. But I have been pro Big 12. I hate that the original, go back a decade, that the original Big 12 broke up, essentially, and was a much different outlook. I've hated personally, that Oklahoma and Texas were leaving, that you had to get to a point where you're finding normalcy. Because the other side of that, too, is, sure, they're getting more money. I'm not seeing any of that money. They're not giving me any of that SEC money, if that were the case. And there's a big portion of the Jayhawks that are still thinking, for some reason, that they're going to get a Big Ten invite. That's never coming. It's never, ever coming. And so I get it. I come from another arrogant fan base. But for me personally,
why do you think it's never coming?
I don't think
if we got to the point where it was four super conferences, you don't think the Big Ten would be interested in Kansas?
I think there is a longer list of schools that are above Kansas. So maybe never is strong.
Okay.
But I think that there's going to be I do think Oregon and Washington would still be in that conversation as a first look if they chose to expand again.
Tarleton.
But if they're the Big Ten, if I'm the Big Ten, I'm waiting to see what happens with the ACC because I think there's some valuable programs and to see what can you argue between with the SEC and your own conference. And okay. So maybe never as strong, but to the it could happen at any moment. That's just not the case.
Yeah,
it's not the scenario.
I feel like Kansas is a fit in the Big Ten.
Because they're AAU. That's the argument.
I don't know.
AAU. Come on, man. I am bitter with what is shaken out.
Conference
from the conference that I grew up watching, and I know that
that's funny how you have way more frustrations with college athletics over conference realignment compared to me, who it's way more about the transfer portal and pay for play.
No, it's not that I don't have frustration there. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, that's one thing that bothers you.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a little bit different. And conference realignment hasn't frustrated me that much at all. Well, I think some of the moves that are made are silly. I mean, West Virginia joining the Big 12 just seemed crazy, and immediately you heard West Virginia going, well, that's really hard for us to travel there. Well, then why did you agree to it? Nobody made you join the conference. I don't care that A&M and Texas haven't played any together anymore. I mean, I'd like the Red Raiders and Aggies to play just because the fan base gets excited about it. I get it, but and they don't want to play. They don't want to play. We'll go. I can turn my hate towards Baylor or TCU. I got them all choked up.
It's choking me up. See, and I guess part of it stems from something that was personal to me as a fan, where Missouri-Kansas got taken away, which, you know, make jokes, understand, but that was a legit rivalry that has been just ripped out and was ripped out a decade ago. And they've tried to do it a little bit with basketball. You've seen the two teams meet, but it's not the same. The hate's still there, sure, but it's not the same of knowing you're going to meet them every single year. And then you had a chance in the same Liberty Bowl replay that's in front of us for that to happen, and old Drinkowitz and the Missouri Tigers ducked them. Call it what you want, they ducked them. And so part of that with conference realignment.
Nobody around these parts is calling it anything, Clint. They didn't.
I get it.
They didn't
even know. I get it. But then, like, from some of the rivalries that are getting taken away, like the Oklahoma State, which they're both handling it poorly. Don't get me wrong, but like Bedlam, even though Oklahoma and Texas are rivals, 1A to each other, still you're getting stuff like that taken away. Not being able to play Texas A&M when they left the first time, and seeing Texas A&M, Texas A&M. Not seeing those games be played just from a college football fan sucked.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I would prefer they were played too. I would prefer. But, I mean, obviously when you're, for example, in the Oklahoma State thing, okay, it's a bigger deal for Oklahoma State than it is Oklahoma. Sure. Oklahoma claims their biggest rival to be Texas.
No doubt.
Not Oklahoma State.
Okay? No doubt.
And so it was kind of one of those, well, you're expected to win it every time. And if you don't, it's a shocker. If you do, okay, well, you were supposed to win it anyways, mm-hmm. okay? And I'm sure that's the same way the Texas folks feel about playing the Red Raiders. Same thing with the Aggies, okay, right? Mm-hmm. That they feel the same way about playing us. And that's why, I mean, Texas leaving has not hurt my feelings whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you know, we're on a similar level with the TCUs and Baylors and Oklahoma States of the world, and I can twist my fate. Or my hate, I should say, or dislike to those fan bases. They've got plenty to dislike just as easily and have just as much passion.
Yeah.
But all that being said,
I get it.
I mean, I wish those games were being played, no doubt. I mean, I'm sad that they're not, but it just doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you.
We get this on the chat line. You don't think Oklahoma was pro Big 12 when they wanted all the time? They probably changed quick when Texas told them they were leaving. They probably had no choice. I'm not saying that there's a world that Oklahoma wouldn't have gone with Texas in that scenario, especially when you go back to what you said. You're worried about the conference. You were already worried about the conference. You went through one round of that a decade ago. I get why they are going, but I'm going from is there any portion of the Oklahoma fan base that's looking and like, I will miss some of that competition in the Big 12 because it's going to get a lot tougher in the SEC. And is anyone projecting right now the Sooners to have as much success win and loss wise as they did in the Big 12? And I'm not talking about the money, because the money's more, and if you're the university, you'd be stupid not to take the money. Yeah. If Texas Tech was said, hey, Tech, you want to come to the SEC? I wouldn't be like, yeah, don't take that money. If Kansas was asked to go to the SEC, it'd be like, Jayhawks, as much as conference realignment angers me, I don't understand why you're going and following all those dollars. I understand. I'm just, from a expectation standpoint, that's going to change real quick.
And I guess I'm also one that believes in this scenario, in this situation that we're talking about now. I mean, first and foremost, I think that ESPN was a major player in making this happen.
No doubt.
Okay? And I think ESPN was selling a bill of goods to Texas and to Oklahoma that said, we're going to take you away from here, and this thing's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. Okay? I think they 100% believe that Texas and Oklahoma would be able to move quicker, and they wouldn't have to pay their buyouts and all of those things, because the conference was going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there was going to be no Big 12 conference. Mm-hmm. And I think the bill of goods that they were selling is, hey, if you guys stay here, you're going to be on the outside looking in, because the Big 12 is not going to exist in 4 or 5 years, and you have the opportunity to go here, make more money, be with this conference, be solidified, all the above. It wasn't as if Oklahoma was choosing, should I stay here and keep dominating this league, or should I go to the SEC? I think Oklahoma was thinking, if I go to the SEC, that might be tougher, but I don't even know what's going to happen with the Big 12. We don't feel like this thing is going to exist for very long.
A little bit of survivalist in there. I believe that that's something that was pitched to them, and that angle was pitched to Oklahoma.
Yeah, so you want to be frustrated about all these things? I personally think that ESPN is a major reason for a lot of it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, worldwide leader in drama.
The feeling, the feeling, just from a Big 12 standpoint, 2 years ago, how different that is now, right? As far as you were legitimately throwing out the American Conference for a home, in discussions with Pac-12 and the American, it is wild how that has turned.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com, a Friday edition. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brennan Riker. And we get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from LBK Realtor 23. I remember the day that news broke. Austin media was blowing it up and Oklahoma media wasn't talking about it at all. I think there was a slight bit of shame associated with it to them. Obviously, there's no world where Oklahoma wasn't going with Texas, but I don't think it was their idea. Yeah, okay. And you, again, I think, you know, it starts with ESPN. I think you nailed that on the head. But it was Texas forward, and it wasn't going to see a separation. And still, it benefits Oklahoma, don't get me wrong, but completely agree with that. Yeah, and this from S. Mitchell. They expected the Big 12 to fold, like you said.
Right.
And I know that had to have been the pitch in the room.
Sure.
You're probably right, Jameson, that on the chat line. JL, do you think the truth will ever come out about that?
Yeah, probably. Surely won't be an ESPN 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably at some point it will.
What if I told you they expected the Big 12 to fail?
Mm-hmm.
It did not.
Yeah. I mean, because of all that Clint's talking about, and there's many people that feel like, you know, the movement within conference realignment has ruined so many great rivalries and ruined what's good about college football. I mean, ESPN doesn't want to be known as the people that did that. Which just makes them just complete chicken spit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ruined.
And somewhat hypocritical because, you know, they're trying to promote the sport and make it as big as ever, yet you're just ripping it apart in certain ways.
I want to give you the best product available.
Yeah.
And with that, you're taking away, you don't really care what you're tearing away from the game as you do it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just part of something that college football fans love.
It's all about rule number two. It's all about the money.
All about the money.
Yeah.
And I just want to go. I don't think conference realignment has just absolutely ruined college football, but it's something that I hate that's happened with it.
Yeah,
that's over fair. The past 2 years, it is. Mm-hmm. And I know it all comes down to the dollar, and that has to be part of the recipe. But when you just separate it for what you games that you enjoyed watching, just as a college football fan, as a whole, like you're taking away some where the and even with the Pac-12. Now the Pac-12's done it to themselves. Start right there, but where you're essentially turning it into one area dominating. And it's partially because of what SEC has done on the field, and it's been incredible. When you lean into it, and then when you make it all about that, then it from your perspective, why even play football anywhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Sure does feel like it's basically, I don't know if this is anything new, but it feels like ESPN would basically like to make the SEC the NFL's minor league system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm
just go on from there.
I'm sure if they wouldn't just get total flack about it and pushback, that they would love to see the SEC go to like 24 teams and that just be a league.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, all the championships are coming from it anyways. Sure. And there's no way to argue against that. The biggest percentage of the best talent is either coming from the area or going to that area in the South. And so I would understand to a point the thought process behind it. But again, that's hasn't ruined college football, but it's certainly been something that I just cannot stand about it. This from Shelley, you could beat a prairie dog, Jay. I'll have some confidence.
Well, I mean, if we lined us up and we said, all right, we're going to do a 100-yard dash, I think the little guy might get tired. Mm-hmm. Okay? But if he's 5 feet away from me and he hops out of his hole and starts charging me, I bet he could run me down.
He's charging!
Yeah.
Everyone back!
And that's why I just say I would just go right at him and just jump over the top and go in the opposite direction. Can't yeah, go ahead, jump.
A prairie... Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like we would have a lot of long distance abilities or leaping abilities.
That can't be right. First answer was 35 miles per hour.
Yeah, I don't run that fast. I believe it. It's just my question would be how long? Yeah. How long could they go at that speed?
Yeah, it just says 35. Was it 2 feet of 35 miles per hour? Just real quick.
Yeah.
Because it feels like once you get any sort of 10 yards, that's not keeping up.
Mm.
But again, I've never sat down and watched a prairie mm-hmm. dog run. I might have to go camp out over there, get the old radar gun out on them.
And then have me start chasing them.
Yeah. All right, Jamie, you run.
That sounds like a job for Brennan, right? That's more intern job, right?
I'll be honored to have that job.
We have to dress Brennan up as a carrot to bait them into running after him.
That guy's dressed like a carrot. Well, so is that guy.
So is that guy. Yeah. All right, let's get in a question of the day, shall we?
All right. I've not got our thing yet.
Who's asking the question?
I am.
Okay.
So it's a question of the day not asked by Jamie. So yesterday, the Big 12 announced the... matrixes for the upcoming basketball season.
Mm-hmm.
So get out your phones, laptops, and get out your matrixes for Texas Tech. If there was one team that you could swap out from any of those matrixes, whether it be home and away or just home only or away only, what would it be and why?
I think I would swap out Cincinnati coming to Tech and put that on the away only and bump up Iowa State to coming to you. Because I think as I look up on the home and away, I don't love that you pulled a home and away with UCF, although I think UCF will be two extremely winnable games. So if you're going from a record standpoint, maybe that does help you. But just from like the competition and I guess the logo battle, that one doesn't really do a ton for me. But I think, you know what? No, not Iowa State. Let's go Houston. Let's have Houston come here because they're in a way only. I'll have Houston come here in Cincinnati. You're going there. I would swap out that.
I would want for Houston to be one of the teams that we were playing both home and away.
Mm-hmm.
I want them on the, because they're, you know, state of Texas school. I would like to play them twice every year, all the time, this year. And I guess you would have to kick out UCF because the other schools, Baylor, TCU, Texas, Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. I want to play them twice too.
Yeah. Again, we talked about this yesterday. For the most part, like what your haul is this year, I really like it. I really like it for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good, no doubt. I completely agree.
Brennan?
I'm with Jamie. I'm going to swap out UCF as with Houston for home and away and just go to UCF. Another thing that I was looking at was probably swapping BYU in Iowa State. So have Iowa State at home and then BYU away.
That Ames game is going to be tough. That should be a really good Iowa State team this year, too.
bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brendan Riker. We just gave away 4 tickets to Dude Perfect next Saturday. Congratulations to Brent. Hope you have a great time with that. It is time to give you the opportunity, Jamie, Brendan, and our fine listening audience, to tell me I'm wrong. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Brendan, are you excited? They finna cook you. We'll see if I get cooked. Hopefully not. That sounds painful. This story has happened over the past couple of days. Vikings 2023 first-round pick Jordan Addison received a citation for speeding and reckless driving. He doesn't seem like alcohol was involved, although I don't think that should play a factor in it at all, because he was going 140 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. This was around 3 a.m. in the Minnesota area. He is not the first player by any means to be caught in multiple sports, by the way. There's a bunch of stories that, you know, as you'd expect, of people being dumb behind the wheel, because you don't have to be an athlete just to be dumb behind the wheel. But the fact of the matter is, he is a rookie coming in first year, drafted out of USC. He was the former Pittsburgh player that followed Lincoln Riley to a great year, Biletnikoff Award winner, therefore the Trojans over at USC. But not the first athlete to be speeding. But I think you have seen a growing trend of dumb stories like this. Now, fortunately, neither him or anyone else was hurt.
Yes, correct.
And legally, looks like, you know, they may still be looking into everything, but from a legal standpoint, he's receiving what the law says. So I have no issue there. But you are seeing, to me, I mean, go to the Georgia stories. Go to Henry Ruggs a couple of seasons ago. I think that the NFL, at minimum, when you have stories like this, should be suspending these players at least half a season. Because there has to be repercussions to get some of these athletes away. Just something from their professional, from their livelihood, to make them think about this. I mean, and this is a player who hasn't even played a down in the NFL. Expected to be really good. I think he's going to fit really well with Justin Jefferson and the Vikings. There have to be some sort of lessons to deter this sort of stuff. Because again, the word is fortunate that he wasn't hurt, and even more fortunate that someone else wasn't on the other end.
I am not going to tell you you're wrong. I think you're 100% completely right. I don't think half a season seems like too much. I don't think enough is put into our thought process with the fact that a vehicle can absolutely be a deadly weapon. And just as many times as it is for the person driving, it is for some innocent bystander. I think that our country is not harsh enough on DWI, DUI penalties by a long, 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 long shot. And I feel like, you know, a guy driving 5 or 10 miles an hour over the speed limit doesn't deserve suspension or whatever. But a guy doing 60 miles over the speed limit, driving 140, yeah, that's extreme reckless driving, not just with your life, but other people's lives. And the punishment needs to be harsher. And so if I'd like to see, you know, the laws of our country change and be harsher, and I think the laws of any sports league should follow suit with that as well.
Because I think it's a joke that you don't know how seriously this can be taken until a life is gone.
Yeah.
And that's the story those are the stories that you see. And that's what's really sad to me.
And again, if you want to do something stupid to yourself, that's one thing. But you're putting a lot of other people at risk too.
And I also know that the league has zero handle on, to me, accurate punishments depending on several things with the league, whether it's abuse. Oh, three games. Welcome back.
And let's not forget, we had the same problem here in Lubbock not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With a running back and other players on the team.
Yeah. It's,
and there was almost no punishment for that.
And it has to start somewhere. That's the problem, though, is it's been example of example of example. Like, oh, they got a $250 fine. Okay, well, you know, they faced the music.
Yeah.
Brendan?
I agree with you. You are not wrong. I think young people have to realize that there's repercussions for your actions. And if there's a NFL player, no matter how young or old, doing something like that, you're breaking the law, you should face legal repercussions, and you should face a punishment from the league to where you realize what you're doing is not smart, and it can affect your life, it can affect someone else's life, and you got to realize you cannot do that. There has to be something in your mind that says this is dumb, and this is, you're playing with someone's life, and you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, the problem is that so many times when they're doing this, alcohol is involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, it's harder for them to make the judgment of I shouldn't be doing this because they're impaired. And B, you're also, your reaction time is not as good because you're impaired.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like mixing NIL and transfer portal all together at once. You're doubling down on bad. And I take drugs from a lot of people.
And again, it doesn't seem, at least what I've seen, that alcohol is involved with this case. But I agree with what you're saying. But it shouldn't have to, right? Because that's why you give, oh, well, he had alcohol. Well, this needs to be more severe. Well, the fact of the matter is he was driving at an uncontrollable speed.
Yeah.
Because he's got a sports car, and the sports car can go fast. And he can yell Bush Light and go woo on a Main Street. But, like, that shouldn't play a factor in it, right?
Right.
But as we know, again, the NFL is a little bit of a joke with how they handle their punishments.
Sure.
Yeah. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, frontal lobe rule. These are results of giving immature man-childs that have been told yes all their lives. Giving money. Unfortunately, 1 year suspension and license revoked at least. And I feel like half a season is like the minimum for
sure. Me. Sure.
LBK Realtor says my go-to horse shot is I've never won horse.
It's not a lot of go-to in that game.
No. Samesies. Samesies. Brendan, did you give a shot
for a horse?
Uh-huh. I think he was on the phone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were doing something.
My trick shot would be going full court heave and just hoping it goes in so no one else can make it.
That doesn't sound like a very high percentage on your go-to trick shot.
Well, again.
But it sounds entertaining.
It's entertaining, and mm-hmm. the fact is I've never won horse. I tried playing horse with one of our star basketball lady Shaps, who was a 3-point killer, and
I bet you got beaten down pretty bad.
I got beat down pretty bad.
Yeah. What was worse, her and horse or Doug Brooks in the state championship game?
It was pretty close. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give Doug Brooks a slight edge because
it's probably physically hurt a little more.
His physically hurt a little more. My ego was more hurt.
He cried after both, though. We do know that.
Yes. There was tears of sadness. My ego was a little more hurt after losing to horse. But she was also a record setter for 3-pointers at LCU, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel too bad about that.
You know, it's kind of, you kind of expect it, you know. Me, 5-foot me, hadn't played basketball since middle school versus.
We don't need your excuses.
Yeah, height's not the excuse when you're going from a shooting standpoint.
Yeah.
If you went dunking contest, maybe that's a little different.
If the girl's dad is like one of the all-time great shooters at Texas Tech, don't line up to play a three-point contest against her, Brennan, okay? That's just that's just a little bit of advice there.
Bottom line, 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.